Well, the Lord has certainly blessed her with a beautiful voice. And I always enjoy when she sings for us. Appreciate that very much. I would like to, again, ask your prayers, and I'd like to call your attention to a few verses of Scripture found in the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to John. If you have your Bibles with you and would like to read with me, please turn there to John chapter 11. And I want to begin reading with verse 45. Jesus, prior to where I'm going to begin reading, had raised Lazarus from the dead. And beginning with verse 45, it says, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we? For this man doeth many miracles.'" And I'm going to stop my reading there with verse 47. I'd like to speak today for just a little while about the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he certainly was a miracle worker. When the Lord was here on earth during his 3 to 3.5 years of his personal ministry, he performed miracles. And we can read about some of them. We can read about there in the second chapter of John, I believe it is, where it tells us of the first miracle that the Lord performed during his ministry. And so we can read about, in the New Testament writings, we can read about the miracles of Christ. And I wonder if anybody knows how many miracles that Jesus performed. If we put that out there as a question today, how many miracles did Jesus perform while he was on the earth? The only thing that we can say in response to that question is what the Pharisees said here. He performed many, many miracles did he perform. We don't know exactly how many, although, as I said, we are given a scriptural account of some of them, but we don't know how many miracles that he actually performed. Because we read in the scriptures, we read about times when Jesus would just, there would just be multitudes of people that would come to him and he would heal them. And so we don't know how many lives that he touched, but I do know this, that, and of course we do read about miracles, things that the Lord did that were not this way. But when you read about the Lord and his miracles, most all of the miracles that he performed were very personal, weren't they? They were one-on-one with people. They were healing the sick and raising the dead. And most of his miracles that he performed were done on a very personal level. What is a miracle? What is a miracle? And I looked at this this definition, and I found this, this is recorded. This is the way that Webster defined a miracle. He said that it is an event or effect contrary to the established constitution and course of things, or a deviation from the known laws of nature, a supernatural event. And I also, in thinking about that, I thought about physics. Physics. Physics is defined as the science of nature or natural objects, comprehending the study or knowledge of whatever exists. And so physics deals with natural laws, laws of nature. And then I also thought about logic, and this is just my own definition. To me, logic is the art of human reasoning. And when we think about a miracle, and we think about physics, and we think about logic, a miracle defies those things. A miracle is something that happens that naturally just cannot happen. And I thought about, in studying this, I thought about things that I have never witnessed. Things that I have read about, but I've never witnessed. And I thought about all the times in my life that I have been around a body of water. My only hobby actually is fishing. And so in my life, I've been around a lot of creeks, a lot of rivers, lakes, big lakes, little ponds, many different bodies of water. And you know, something that I have never seen. Now, I've seen nature. I've seen wind and rain and things of that nature have an effect upon water. But you know, something that I have never witnessed in my life is I've never seen a body of water just divide and instantly produce dry ground. My eyes have never seen such a thing as that. I have never, most of the time when I drink something, it's water. That I drink that probably 90% of the time. I've never had a glass of water sitting somewhere that I was drinking. I've never picked that water up and found out that while it was just sitting there, that it turned into wine. That just doesn't happen, does it? There's no natural law. There's nothing in nature that makes that happen, that makes water just turn into wine. Now, being out in the water, I must confess, there's been a time or two when I got in the water. Sometimes I didn't mean to. But you know what? I have never in my life, never have I ever stepped onto water without submerging. Even if I just step on water that's just that deep, it will at least go up to my ankles. I've never been able to stand or walk across the top of water. Never experienced such a thing as that. I've attended in my lifetime many memorial services, many funerals. And you know, I have never seen a corpse. I've never seen the dead body of anyone just rise up by their own power. I've never seen that happen. I was listening to a story about a young girl. Listening to this yesterday, about a young girl that's blind, and she's an athlete, and she had learned how, even being blind, this young lady had learned how to pole vault, if you could imagine that. That's a very difficult sport, and she had learned how to do this even being blind. But they talked about how that this young lady, when she was just a little girl, 2 or 3 years old, they discovered that she had a very serious medical condition with both of her eyes. And despite all that the doctors were able to do for her, and she underwent surgery after surgery after surgery until She was, I think they said, maybe about 10 or 11 years old. But despite all that they tried, they couldn't keep her from going blind. She lost her sight. Even after all the surgeries that she had, she ended up losing her sight. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he was here on the earth, he could give sight to the blind. And we read about that over and over in the scriptures, and he could employ any means that he chose to do that. We don't ever read about Jesus giving sight to a blind person. We don't ever read about him having to take that person into surgery and perform a medical procedure on them in order to give them sight. I'll tell you what he did one time. He just spit on the ground and he mixed some dirt with it and anointed the eyes of a blind man and gave him his sight. You know what that is? What do you call that? That is a miracle. That's a miracle. And these other things that I told you about that I haven't seen, we know from the Word of God that they have all happened. We read about in the Old Testament, in the 14th chapter of Exodus, we read about the time when the children of Israel had left Egypt on the Exodus and they came to the Red Sea and they were going to be overtaken by the Egyptians that were pursuing them, and they got there to the sea and they were trapped, and they began to murmur and complain, and Moses said, "Stand still, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord," and he stretched out the rod there and God parted the sea. He parted the sea. And the Israelites went through that on dry ground to the other side. And when the Egyptians tried to pursue them, then God closed the sea and drowned them. Folks, that doesn't just happen, does it? It doesn't just happen that the sea or any body of water just opens up. We read about another time when the children of Israel were getting ready to cross into the promised land, into Canaan, the land that God had sworn that he would give to them. And God divided the Jordan and they walked through. The water's just standing up on a heap. I believe that. I believe it really took place. I don't believe it's a myth. I don't believe it's a fable. I don't believe it's a parable. I believe that God Almighty parted the Red Sea and the children of Israel went through on dry ground. To me, Jesus performed a miracle, as I said, just prior to the verses that I read. He had come to the town of Bethany where his friend Lazarus had lived, and Lazarus had died. And when Jesus got there, he had already been dead for 4 days. He had come to the point where, as his sisters told Jesus, he already stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. That decay has already begun to happen. It's already set in on his body. And Jesus went and stood before the place where they had laid Lazarus, and he called to him by his proper name, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth, still wrapped in the grave cloths, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." He raised him from the dead. I know there's many people in the world that don't believe that that happened, but it did. Jesus could raise people from the dead. He gave his apostles the same power. He gave them the power, and they were not able to do it by their own power, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, they were able to go out and they were able to perform miracles. They were able to heal the sick. They were able to cleanse the leper. They were able to give sight to the blind, and they were able to raise the dead. And it all had a purpose. Jesus brought this power to earth when he came in human form, and he exercised the power of the working of miracles, and he gave that to his church for the purpose of accrediting them and the purpose of showing that they were indeed of God. That was the purpose behind the miracles. And I'm going to say this, and I know there's people in the world today that don't believe this, but this is exactly what I believe. That gift of being able to perform miracles existed among the early church during the days of the apostles for that very purpose, and it no longer exists in the church. There are people today that they say that they can heal people. I've not seen any of them raise the dead. But you know, the people that were given that gift, they were able to raise the dead. They could raise the dead. Somebody asked me one time about that. You know, why don't you believe that? Why don't you believe that there are people that can still do that? And I said, they're going to have to show me that they can raise the dead. Because they were able to. Those to whom the Lord gave that power, they were able to raise the dead. And so we look, I'll give you a couple of verses. We look at Acts chapter 2, verse 22. This is the day of Pentecost. The apostle Peter was doing the preaching. And during that sermon, he made this statement. He said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. He was approved of God among them by miracles and signs." What did Nicodemus say when he came to Jesus by night? He said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And that those powers and those gifts accredited them at that time in the beginning, in the early years of the Lord's church, it accredited them that they were indeed the kingdom of God on the earth, that God's power was with them in that way. Now, Jesus, during his ministry, he proved that there was not anything that he couldn't do. There was not a miracle that he could not perform. He did turn the water into wine. There in Cana, there at that marriage, the Lord turned water into wine. That cannot happen by any natural process. That has to be supernatural, doesn't it? That's what a miracle is. A miracle is something that is done that is supernatural. that goes beyond the possibility of anything in nature. We look at a miracle and we say that it's something that the only way that it can take place is by the divine power of Almighty God. That's what a miracle is, something that only God is able to do. As I said, the apostles, during the time that God had granted them the gift of doing miracles, they never performed not one of those miracles by their own power. It was always done through the power and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so while he was here on the earth, he was able to do all things. Jesus could cleanse the leper. You know, leprosy was common in the days that Christ was on earth. And it was a very dreaded disease, and it was a very contagious disease. And those that had leprosy, they were separated from the people, and they had to declare themselves to be unclean, and there was no medical treatment for it. There was nothing the doctors, the physicians could do about it. But Jesus healed many lepers. Remember hearing about the woman that we read about in the 9th chapter of Matthew and the 5th chapter of Mark, the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. And she had gone to many physicians, and she had spent all of her money, all of her living, trying to be cured from her illness. And nobody had been able to help her. Not only had she visited many physicians and spent all of her money, not only was she not better, but she was growing worse. And listen, folks, no matter what you and I do, we are very limited, aren't we? But God's not. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. And so this lady came to Jesus with her ailment, with her problem. She believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she could be made whole. And she had to make her way through the crowd in order to do that. But her faith pushed her to that point that she made her way through the crowd, and she reached out and she touched the hem of his garment. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And they said, "Well, Lord, you see all the people that are here. I mean, you're in a great big crowd of people, and you want us to tell you who it was that touched you." But listen, Jesus wasn't just referring to his garment being physically touched. He knew that somebody had touched him in a very special way. He knew that somebody had reached out and touched him with faith in their heart. He said, "I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." You know what that word means? You know what virtue means? Miraculous power. Jesus said, "I believe that a miracle has gone out of me. I believe that miraculous power has gone out of me." And I'm telling you, there that day that he healed that woman of her infirmities, he did something that nobody else could do. Folks, that is a miracle. When the Lord does something that nobody else can do. Well, Jesus did that while he was here during his ministry over and over and over and over and over again, more than you and I even know about, he performed miracle after miracle after miracle. Healed many people of many diseases, raised the dead on several occasions. The birth of Jesus was miraculous, wasn't it? He was born of a virgin, and folks, that can't just happen. That cannot just happen. That's a miracle. There's so many things that he did while he was here that were just, can only be explained by saying they were miracles that the Lord did. He had the power to perform miracles. Well, as I said a moment ago, the Bible tells us, the Hebrew writer told us that Jesus never changes, that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I'm going to say this before you today, that though I believe the age of miracles, when that gift existed among the church and that gift of miracles existed among the apostles, even though that I believe that that passed away with the apostolic age, yet Jesus is still a man of miracles. He still works miracles. He's still in the business today of doing what nobody else can do. Now, I told you in the beginning of this, things that I have never seen, things that I read about in the Bible that I've not witnessed. I've not witnessed the sea dividing. I've not witnessed somebody raising the dead. There were many things that the Lord did while he was here, and there were things that were done in Old Testament times that I have never witnessed. But I'm going to tell you today that I know what a miracle is, and I know what it is to be the recipient of one. To me, the greatest miracle that the Lord ever does is when he brings a dead soul back to life. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, made alive. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were all sinners, weren't we? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm telling you, there was a time in my life when I had a need that nothing short of the power that Jesus has to work miracles, nothing short of that could take care of it. I needed a miracle. My soul was lost. My soul was dead. The eternal part of me was dead in trespasses and in sins, separated from God. And it needed to be regenerated. It needed to be made alive. It needed to be quickened. And there was not a man upon the earth anywhere that could do that. There was not a man upon the earth. Let me tell you something. I'll just tell you exactly the way I believe it. These people that stand before people and tell them whether or not they've been saved, they're lying to them. They don't have the ability to know whether or not somebody has been saved. Only God can do that. And that's what I needed, Brother Mike. I needed a miracle. I needed a miracle. And when I went to the Lord and I placed my trust in Him, He gave me that. He quickened my soul and made me alive in Christ Jesus. You know, there was a time when Jesus, during His ministry, there was a time that the Bible tells us that He returned to His hometown of Nazareth, and He didn't do many miracles among His own people. You know why? They didn't believe in Him. They didn't trust Him. They didn't place their faith in Him. I'll tell you what, the Lord performs miracles for those who believe, those who place their trust in Him. There were we read about these blind men in the 20th chapter of Matthew. We read about these two men that were blind, and they knew that Jesus was going to be passing by, and when He did, they sought Him that He might give them their sight. And you know what the Lord asked them? He said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they did. And He did. The Lord didn't do many miracles there in Nazareth because of their unbelief. I'm convinced that we could see a lot more if we would just place our trust in Christ. That we would see a lot more of His power, that we would see a lot more of His miraculous ability if we placed our trust in Him. Because the promise was that whatever we ask of Him, believing, that we would receive. I know there's many times that God does according to His will. We all know that. But there are also times where it's no telling what we might see if we would really put our trust in the Lord. Listen, every time that I have been able to do that, every time that I have been able to trust Him, He's never let me down. Never let me down. When I trusted Him for the salvation of my soul, He saved me by His grace. There's a miracle in me. There's a miracle in you if you've been saved. Does Jesus still perform miracles among the human family? Why, sure He does. They're walking around the earth, aren't they? Walking miracles. Those who have been saved have experienced the greatest of His miracles. Let's have a song. If you're here today, if you're in need of that miracle of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to quicken your soul. Thank you for your attention.